You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 158. And our guest today is Lisa. Now, I'm going to give you some tips for thinking about Lisa's dream as you hear it. But first of all, for those of you who haven't listened to The Dream Show before, a little explanation. What we do when we have a guest on the show is we phone or Skype the guest, and I don't know anything about the dream until we start recording. So this is done so that you share with us the feeling, or you share with me the feeling of hearing the dream for the first time, and you get to go through that process with me of, here's the dream, what questions do I ask, what do I see, talking with the dreamer and drawing it all together, what the dream means, how it relates to the dreamer's life, what changes the dreamer might want to bring into their life and what to do to bring those about. So you go through that whole process with me, whereas if I had been presented with the dream beforehand, I would have already sorted it out and have it all ready to go. And it's not quite so interesting for you. Now, obviously, we record the dream and then we go back, as I'm doing now, and add the beginning and the end to the show. So what I'd like to suggest as you listen to Lisa's dream is... It's quite a long dream. It's a really interesting dream. We go some really exciting places when we talk about this. But as you listen to it, two things to bear in mind. It is a dream which has motifs. Now, a motif is a recurring theme within a dream. So I'm not going to give you too many tips within that. But as you listen to it, see if you can notice two or three themes that keep returning and going over and over and over again, because it may not be obvious, and if you've listened to a lot of The Dream Show, it may be, but that's one tip you might want to notice. And the other is too, there are a lot of good symbols in the dream, but when Lisa gets to the end, just ask yourself a quiet question. Which symbol stuck out to you the most? And see later whether it compares with what was really the key symbol for Lisa. So that's a couple of things that, although I didn't have those going into listening to the dream, you might like to bear in mind as you listen. Because one of the things about this show, that one of the reasons we like to do this show and why we've done 158 episodes and we'll keep continuing, is that it becomes a free and very in-depth resource that if you can get on the internet anywhere in the world, you can download, listen to regularly, and learn at a very deep level how to analyze and interpret dreams. If you need extra help with that, you can work with me one-on-one. Go to my website, which I'll give you the addresses later, and you can do training at a deep level, at a light level, any level to take that on board yourself. But this is our gift to the world, this free in-depth resource. So that's the way to come into the dream and listen to it. Just before we go on to Lisa, my websites are dream.net.au. Probably the main website to go to these days is my blog, actually, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. And there's my dream store, which is janetheresaanderson.com. All these sites are interconnected. There's lots of great articles for you to read. There's all the 158 other episodes of The Dream Show that you can listen to there. You can always get the most recent 10 on iTunes and or find me on Facebook or all these other social media that you know about. But let's just get on with Lisa. Here we go. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lisa.
Thank you.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really well. We've got up nice and early, and Saturday morning that we're doing this recording, isn't it? So we went out for a nice coffee this morning and sat perched quite high up, looking down on the everybody else walking about going for their coffee.
So, sounds lovely.
Yeah, so I've had quite an idyllic morning, really. And here we are, ready to talk about your dream, of which, as usual, I have no idea what you're bringing. You've kindly volunteered a dream, and tell us what it is.
Okay, well, my dream, it was sort of a long dream, and I can remember most of it. There's little patches that are missing. But my husband and I were going to buy a house, and we looked at this house, and it was an almost derelict house, like it needed a lot of work. The paint was peeling off outside, and it was made of timber. It was timber, and it was peeling off, and that didn't worry us, because we knew we'd have to do some work on it anyway. But then we looked around and I noticed the yard. It was built on like almost the side of a hill. The yard was really steep. Mm. But looking out, it had a great view. And one of the things that I noticed in the view was of the city. It was of pretty much like a Brisbane view. And one of the things that I noticed in the dream was my daughter's school was huge in the view. And even though it was some distance away, I could see everything in detail in the school and then just looking out at the rest of the view. Anyway, we went down into the yard. We didn't go into the house straight away. And we went into it, and I remember it was the left side of the yard, and we were walking down the hill because it was a slopey yard, as I said. And the next-door neighbour from behind the property came straight out to us with a piece of paper, and he wanted us to sign the piece of paper, and the piece of paper was for, it was okay for pipes to go through our yard. And he was rushing us to sign it. And but I looked down at the ground, and where he'd put his pipes, it was all mud and boggy, and we were standing in all this mud, you know, this mud. And at first I thought it would be okay, and I said to him, okay, I'll sign that if you cover it up with nice stones and make a nice stoned sort of pathway over the top of it. But then I reconsidered, and I thought, oh, I don't really know whether I do want to sign this. So the whole yard was really strange. The backyard had a massive big boulders in it with a tree growing out of the boulders, and then I walked over, and in the very corner, there were two quite high fences in the opposite corner to where this fellow was. There were two quite high fences, and there was like a sinkhole in the corner of the yard. And I remember standing on the edge of the sinkhole, and I was going to step into the sinkhole to see how deep it was, but then I was worried it would be very deep, and I didn't, so I didn't step into it. So we then went, and the tree took up nearly the whole backyard like this, and this just like someone had dumped just a massive pile of boulders there. Anyway, we ended up going into the house, and we met the owner of the house, and it was this young fellow, and he was sort of like an artist. And I remember looking around, and the furniture was really, he'd done up some of his own furniture, and it was really great and looked fantastic and all this sort of stuff, and he was telling us about it, and we really liked it. And we said, oh, the house is really funky and cool, and asked him if the furniture came with it, and he said yes, he would sell some of the furniture, and there was great artwork on the wall and things like that. But as we went inside the house, it was all over the place, and it wasn't like a normal house. In the kitchen, we went into the kitchen, and the kitchen was this half-finished room. It wasn't a room at all, really. It sort of didn't have a stove, and thinking, oh, that looks a bit strange. The house was made of, it had a massive big brick central wall in it, and it was made of wood, and there were stairs on it, and the stairs had gaps. They were just the I forget what they're called, just the flat part. It didn't have the rises on the stairs.
Open treads.
Yeah, open treads. And we walked up the stairs, and I remember I had my son with me, and I was very nervous of the stairs, and I walked in the middle of the stairs because I was worried the stairs were going to collapse. And we got up to the top of the house, and on the way up on the stairs, I remember looking at the brick wall and thinking, oh, that's a really big brick wall. But then when I touched the brick wall, it was actually the grout was still wet in between the bricks. And anyway, we got upstairs, and I had a look at the kids' bedrooms. And this is probably the strangest part of the dream, is we looked inside a door, and it was like looking down an elevator shaft. And the kids' bedrooms were all vertical instead of your normal house of children's bedrooms. And one bedroom, which would have been my son's bedroom, was a bed literally floating out in the middle of the elevator. And I remember thinking, he'll just step off his bed and fall. He'll fall right down into that that shaft. And thought, no, that's weird. Anyway, then we turned and we're starting to think, no, I don't like this house. But then we went into the main bedroom, and it was massive, and it was totally different to the rest of the house. And it was two rooms within one, and there was like the bedroom and then a sitting room. All the furniture was all antique. It was all set up properly, like a really well furnished with rugs and everything. And it was large and everything like that. And my husband and I were standing there, and we're going, oh, this is, yeah, we could do something with this. This is really great. This looks really good. But then we looked down, and the floor was sloping. And we were standing on a sloping floor, and we noticed that it all the floor sloped down to the to the back of the house, and we went, oh, we both looked at each other and said, we can't put up with this. This would drive you crazy, walking on a sloping floor all the time. So we left the house, we left the bedroom, and we went and walked outside, and this is where I can't quite remember the rest of the dream. There are other people outside, and I know that they were of a different nationality. It was a group of another family, and there was a lot of women, and I can't really remember, but there was a lot of concrete and a brick wall, and we were standing around out there. And then I was standing there, and I was looking up into the sort of up the hill, and I could see it, and my husband had walked off, and I could see a tree shaking up in the hill, and I thought, what's going on with that tree? And I couldn't quite see what was happening. And then as I looked closer, I saw it was my husband, my father, and my brother were chopping down the tree. Mm. They were all shaking the tree. And then I turned back, and I was standing with my mother and my sister-in-law, who weren't in the dream before that. And I was standing there, and we all just sort of ruefully shook our heads and going, what are those boys up to now? and sort of left it at that, and that was sort of really the end of my dream.
Oh, wow. So you, well, it's fantastic recall, Lisa. I love it.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, I had the dream just before sort of I woke up in the morning, and it was, you know, like one of those dreams where you could remember. I could remember a lot, and I had a pen and paper and quickly wrote down things straight after.
Oh, brilliant. Well done. Yeah, that's the thing to do, to grab. Sometimes you just grab one detail and the rest kind of fills in as you're writing.
Yeah.
And when was the dream, Lisa?
The dream was I'm trying to think when it was, just under a week ago. A few days, I'm trying to think, maybe 5 days ago.
Okay, just to get an anchoring, because an anchoring is probably a word that we might use quite a lot while looking at your dream, but because the dream usually reflects the day or two before. So as we talk about this dream, it's what was what you were processing that was going on for the day or two before. So right at the end of the dream there, that's how it ended, with that emotion of shaking your heads and going, oh, as you said, ruefully, you know, what are they up to? So that feeling of could you expand on that? What are they up to, like, because this isn't going to do any good, or what are they up to because I can't fathom it out? What are they up to? What was kind of like the rest of the feeling? What are they up to, because what they're doing is going to be...
It was a feeling it wasn't a feeling of being worried or anything like that. It was just... it was a feeling that I guess I feel often with my brother, my husband, and my father. They all like hobbies, and they all fly helicopters, and they're all into these boys' toys. And, you know, often us women sit there and boys in their toys, you know, like, and it was that sort of, was that sort of a feeling where it was just they'll be all right, but what are they doing? You know, like, you sort of... Yeah, sort of half laughing at them, you know, not laughing at them, but, you know, laughing with them, but not at all. It wasn't I wasn't a worried feeling or anything like that. It was just they'll be I knew it would be okay, that they would handle it, whatever it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic. You've got I was taking some notes there while you were talking, and I noticed that sometimes when you've got a long dream, there's if you listen carefully, there's a recurring kind of theme going on. And in dream analysis, we often call that a recurring motif. And you've actually got a couple of ones going on. But the one that might be less obvious to a lot of people is there are a few points in the dream where you make one decision, or you kind of feel okay with something, or you really like it, and then there's a second thought, oh, no, actually, I'm not so sure about that. So I'm just going to run past some of them before saying what it means. The first one I noticed was where the neighbour said, oh, can I put pipes through your yard? And you were going, oh yeah, that's okay, as long as you cover it up with a pebble path. And then you thought again and thought, actually, no, I'm reconsidering that, I'm not so sure. So that was like the first one. The second one I noticed was when you saw the sinkhole, and I was very amazed that you thought that you might just step into it and see how deep it was.
Probably not my nature. No. It's not really my nature to do that.
I'm probably glad to hear that. But we will look at that. And then you reconsidered and you didn't. So there's that sort of sense again. The next one I noticed was that when you went into the house, it was funky and cool. And it's like, yeah, I like this. Yeah, I mean, the implication being, yes, we'll buy this. Oh, yeah, can we have some furniture as well? But then as you went deeper into the house and saw things like the weird kitchen, it was like, oh, I'm reconsidering this now. Mm-hmm. And the next one, actually the last one I noticed there, but there were probably more, was when you went into the main bedroom. And I was like, yes, we can work with this. This is really good. Big, yeah, it's just what we want. But then, oh, hang on a minute, the floor's sloping, reconsider. So that's kind of like one theme going through it, which is feeling attracted and comfortable with something and then taking a moment and reconsidering. So that may or may not reflect something that you were aware of the couple of days leading to the dream, and it may or may not reflect something that you weren't aware of the day or two before the dream, but which affects how you were feeling. But before we go into that, I just want to go have a quick look at the other theme that I noticed going through it, which was, what was it now? It was kind of associated with that, but it was a little, it was the old versus new, actually. Actually, there were three things. I'm just going through this. Yeah. So there was a sense of the house being funky and new and wonderful, versus which you really liked. You liked that funky, new, cool. But then when it came to the big bedroom with the antiques furniture, you liked that too. So there's another kind of ambivalence there. New and funky versus old and antique.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few instances like that. There was also the sense of the tree in the yard. And first, when you described the tree, it was like, oh, it's a big tree. It's got boulders around it. You know, I'm thinking, oh, it must have grown out the boulders. It must be a really old tree because it's been growing there for a long time. And later on, you said it's like there's a tree and someone's brought in the boulders and put it there. So I'm going, oh, okay, is that old or is that new?
Yeah, okay.
So that kind of feeling there. And then the other the other theme going through here is it dangerous or is it safe? Is it risky or not?
Yeah.
Which is probably quite obvious as you look through it, you know. Ooh, shall I step into this sinkhole or not? Will my son be safe on that floating bed or not? and all of that. So that's kind of like three main themes that may or may not have been going on for you in the day before. But before asking you whether that rings a bell for you, Lisa, I just want to go into a couple of the other things and then we'll go. So right at the top of the dream, often the beginning of the dream kind of sets the situation that your dreaming brain or dreaming mind is wants to address or is trying to process. So right at the top, and it's usually just a very short bit at the top, and there it is. We're looking to buy a house. It's a bit derelict, but we're happy with that because we're kind of ready to do some work. So the situation right at the top is almost like there's something in my life that I'm ready to do some work on, ready to make a change. And it doesn't actually, you know, I mean, you may be looking for a new house or a new job or anything, but it's generally more helpful if you look at a dream being about the self. So there's something about myself that I'm ready to change. I'm ready to do quite a lot of work on, and I'm particularly ready to look at what might be a bit derelict and peeling, what I might need to want to renew. Now, the moment you think derelict and peeling, in a house, for example, I guess you've got two options. One is to say, okay, I want to renovate this. I want to restore this and take it back to its original house, if we're looking at the symbol of house. And the other is, oh, this is derelict. I can do some wonderful things. I can build something really new and funky with this. So the situation is almost like with the self, I'm ready to do some big work and make some changes. My main question is, do I make changes in alignment with the kind of beliefs that I've had and cherished throughout my whole life and want to build on this? Or do I take this opportunity to bring in some really new changes, like actually, you know, build some new aspects of myself or bring out some parts of myself that I haven't really developed before? And that's the theme of the dream. because the dream then goes into a lot of that. You know, you can see that in the house. I, Lisa, within myself, could be funky and new and full of wonderful new creative furniture ideas, as in new ideas myself, or, wait a minute, I feel really comfortable in this lovely big bedroom. It's antique, and I like that you said it's set up properly. Now, there's that feeling of, deep down inside me, I, Lisa, know what is proper. I know how to set up things properly. I know how to have boulders at the bottom of my tree. I know the importance of an education like your daughter's school being so huge and the vision there. I know the importance of foundations. I have some very deep, firm foundations that are very important to me. But hang on a minute, even with that, it's not really quite right because the floor's sloping. So the whole theme of the dream, which after I hand over to you, we will go into in minute detail, is this question of, I want to make changes within myself. Now, you may feel that that's changes in your outer world, in your job, your house. I don't know what it's about, Lisa, but everything that we do in life has a inner reflection, so we can look at it as the changes you're making within yourself. And the big question is, do I want to build on the firm foundations and beliefs that I regard as important as I go through these changes? Or do I want to bring in some totally new and creative aspects of myself? How do I feel about this risk versus safety and so on? So to say, there's a lot more in the dream, but I'm handing it back to you at this stage for seeing how this resonates with what's going on with you.
Some of the things that definitely are going on in my life that I think are in the dream, and my daughter's school, seeing that at the moment, I'm really doing a lot to help my daughter. She's in high school, and we've discovered that she's got some things that she needs help with in school, and I'm really doing a lot to help her and focusing a lot on her. I know and last week and this week has been huge with her assignments and spending a lot of time sitting down with her and making sure she's okay.
Yes.
And I could recognise that from the dream. And when I went into the house and the artist was there and I was looking around the room going, this is new and funky, I liked it, but I knew it wasn't me.
Yes.
I knew standing in that dream, I liked it, and some part of me I looked at, you know, I can see other people that are like that, but I know that's not me. It was hard to explain. I'm more the antique. I felt much more comfortable in the bedroom, you know, like that was, and I just, yeah, I felt like when I looked at that room, that first room that was new and funky, I felt like this is something you couldn't live. It looked good and it looked great, but it's something that wouldn't be functional, I suppose. I definitely felt that when I went into the dream. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess at the moment I'm not sure. I'm sort of happy with work-wise, but there may be changes happening in our house with my husband's work.
Yes.
And I'm not prepared to make a move until we know what he's doing, as he's the, you know, I'm the sort of part-time look after the house person, and he's the full-time earner. So, I think that's definitely going on in my life at the moment. I don't know whether that's part of it, because I know that what he's thinking of doing is maybe moving into his own business, and that would mean I would have to step up to and help out
yes.
with the business. Which is fine. Yeah, I'm just trying to think what else is sort of going on in my life. Like, I feel really happy in my relationship.
Well, look at
my husband.
Yeah.
Well,
look at some other details in the dream, and that might bring out some more. But that's really lovely, yeah. Lisa. That all resonates with the dream. So there's that sense of, as you're speaking there, I'm getting the sense of, yes, you're happy with everything. There's a big decision to be made on almost on your part while your husband's considering whether or not to open his own business or go into his own business.
Yeah.
You're almost secondary there, like you're saying, I'm not prepared, which is good. I'm not prepared to make a change unless it's good for me and for all of us, which is good. But by secondary, I mean, you can't make that decision until he makes his, in a way.
Yeah.
There's that sense of...
Yeah, that most definitely. That is,
yeah.
That is, definitely with my work at the moment, I love where I work, and I work, but it's casual work, and it's... And I've consider whether I should lock in some permanent part-time work, and I'm not prepared to do that though yet.
Yes.
until I know what's happening in the future there.
So with your husband's business, if he goes into that, you said you would need to step up and play a role. Do you mean play a role within his business, or play a role by having a more secure job outside that enables him to have a business?
Play a role within his business.
Within his business. Yeah. And if that role that you envisage, is that would that be drawing on antique bedrooms, antique skills, or funky new skills?
It'd be antique skills, I think, because it would be like the administration. I would have to do the, well, it'd be old and new, like it'd be the administration role. I would have to definitely, I would look after, I imagine, the paperwork side of the business.
Mm.
And whilst I know some of it, I imagine, I'd have to learn a fair bit too. But, it wouldn't be like starting from scratch, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd have a fair idea of paperwork and things that he would need to, health and safety and things like that he would need to incorporate.
So that makes sense of the part of the dream where you see the bedroom and you say, you know, it's antique and everything, and you particularly said we liked it because it was set up properly. So what you're talking about there is your feeling, which is probably correct, that for any new business, the administration and everything needs to be set up properly.
Even, and that's my nature to, it's got to be all sort of in a line.
In a line, except that it's not, organized. Except that in the dream, the worry is that the floor is sloping, it's not in a line.
true.
Can I just ask you a question? If you had the choice and your husband had the choice of employing an administrator, would you prefer that to you being the administrator?
No, I'd like to do it.
So you definitely want to be involved in the business if everything else works out.
Yeah.
So it's not a 1-2 choice. It's not a yes, I'll be in that, hang on a minute, I'll reconsider, like the theme of the dream. If it's functional and if it works for you, you would actually positively enjoy doing it.
Yeah, no, I would. I think, I guess the thing that would most concerns me is if the business is successful. That's what worries me more than me helping out.
Yes.
You know, like that, it's worrying, you know, whether the business would be successful and whether you can maintain an income and, maintain our standard of living that we live now.
Will you have to walk on a sloping floor or step into a sinkhole or sleep on beds that you fall when you get out of them, or have brick walls without grouting that collapse at a touch.
all those things.
So in a dream, you know, we all, you know, you obviously what you're saying, we would all agree with from a totally sensible point of view. One can never go into a business without knowing whether it's going to be successful or not. You can try your very best and do everything that you can do and check all the boxes, but you still don't know until you take that step, of course. It's something you have to assess for yourself. So in a sense, the theme running through the dream of shall we, shan't we, is it risky, is it dangerous, is one that we would all be thinking about. But what dreams can also do, of course, is show us our unconscious side. And if you were a real worrier that whatever we do, it's going to be a, this isn't you, but whatever we do, it's going to be a sinkhole. Whatever we do, the walls are going to collapse. Whatever we do, it's just not going to work. You would see that theme running through the dream, except it would be like your dream, except you would step into the sinkhole and you disappear. You know, you would touch the brick wall and it would fall apart. And it would be, the danger would be more present in your dream if at a deep unconscious level, you really doubted what was going to happen. But by the same token, your dream does suggest that at least consciously and unconsciously, you are concerned about the safety and, as you say, the success of going into the business. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter, isn't it, of trying to judge how a business will go versus taking a leap and doing it anyway. And your dream outlines many of the things to do with that. Now, it's interesting that you recognise that your daughter's school was related to the work that you're doing, helping her with assignments at the moment. And that's a reality. It's what you're doing. But I'm seeing the connection there between you helping your daughter, it being the support, and actually probably a great deal more than support, probably doing a lot of the brain work for the assignments too. And looking at the same with my husband, your husband, like, will I be being the administrator? Will I be doing the paperwork, which is a very valid and helpful and probably contribute to the success of the business? Or actually, would I be doing a lot more than that as well? How much of my work with my daughter that I do out of total love and I would do in any case, would I also be doing for my husband? How much time would that leave for me? Those kind of considerations. I can see a parallel there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you feel about that, being able to put your energy into your daughter and your husband at two critical times?
Well, it is a big thing in my life at the moment. I feel time poor.
Mm.
I feel juggling. I feel like I juggle a lot of things. I've got my daughter, and then I've also got I've got four children.
Oh, wow.
I've got a daughter, and then I've also got a son who's just started in primary school. So he, you know, the homework with him is full on. You have to sit down with him and do it, and then I've also got another daughter who is studying childcare, who I help her too sometimes with, you know, if you get stuck on assignments and things like that. So I do feel definitely at the moment in my life, I have a diary, and my diary is just a scrawly, scratchy nightmare where I'm crossing out things and just, putting things in and juggling this for that for work. And so definitely when I think of the new business and I think of the paperwork in that, I immediately, like a flash in my mind, where am I going to fit that in during the day? Like, it's not sort of where am I going to fit that in during the day, but not where, but I'm already thinking how I'm going to fit that, fit that in during the day. Yeah.
What's your gut feel for what you think will have to go missing in your life if you do that?
I think that I will logically for me, it would be my part-time work would have to reduce hours because I would be taking on more work.
Yes.
I really don't want to, I don't want to reduce the hours I put into my home and my family because selfishly that makes me feel good.
Yeah. There's nothing selfish about that.
it makes me feel like, you know, I'm a good mum and I've got, you know, the house is organised and controlled and I'm looking after my family.
Yes.
So I would definitely try not to let that slip. And I keep looking at it, you know, it's a thing that's only going to last a few more years and my daughter will be finished school and, not to let the sort of the ball drop at this stage.
Yeah. So yeah. What you're saying is that cherish your role in looking after the family and loving the family, not from expectation, but because it actually does enrich you by doing that?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
It makes me, it's by far the most important job I've ever had in my life.
That's good. And it's good to know that. A lot of people don't know that, do they? So knowing that it's not from expectation that you've placed on yourself to be a good wife or mother, but it's actually coming from a place of love within yourself, and this is really what I want to do, then that's a key thing for you to bear in mind as you make your decisions, obviously. If you go to, and I do have to say before we do anything else, for people listening in, although Lisa, although we're talking about you and your husband and your daughter and your family, because it's all the dynamics that are going on for you at the moment, when they appear in your dream, like at the end there, you know, your husband, your brother and your father chopping down the tree, and you, your sister, and your mum and your sister-in-law, the dream isn't about them. It's always everyone in a dream represents something about you. So when so at the end of that dream, you've got that feeling of the males and the females. My feelings about my Lisa's feelings almost about the expectations of the male and female roles you've got there, or even that sense, as you say, that you often in life kind of, I'll say eye roll. You didn't say eye roll, but eye roll. Well, that's. There they go with their hobbies, but they're going to be all right.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah. My mother, my sister. We all look at the boys ever actually grow up ever.
So there's that sense of expectation of looking after people that never grow up as well. And that sense that, but there's also, you know, they're all part of your beliefs about yourself. So there's the beliefs about yourself there too, that sometimes the males in the dream sometimes represent more your left brain and how you see your role in the outer world. And the females in the dream can represent your inner world, your nurturing, as you've well described, your creativity, your spirituality, even the more holistic. There's more positive words to describe the right brain than the left brain, you may notice. Yeah. But if you cut that down, that's that feeling at the end of the dream of the male side of myself is making changes, shaking the tree, cutting it down, chopping it down. Yeah. But although I'm a bit worried, and that's just the way that it always is, I know they'll be all right. Now, that can relate.
And that's exactly how I felt. Like I felt when I was looking at my husband and thinking, I remember distinctly thinking, you don't have to worry about that. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
And that's why we were sort of just ruefully laughing, you know, like, don't take on my real thought in that was, don't take on that worry. He will handle it.
Yes. And that,
And
that makes sense in your waking life because you know and love him well enough to know that that's true. And also on an inner level, Lisa, your own male side, which is very strong in this dream, if you think about it, if your male side is your left brain, your logical brain, that's the part of yourself that's thinking administrator. That's a very left brain job. Working as an administrator in a business, that's left brain stuff. Thinking about your casual job you've got at the moment, that's a job out there in the world. The responsibility of all of this, you talked about, you know, I don't want to make any of these changes unless they're going to be functional and safe. Those are left brain things too. So in a sense, those men at the end of the dream also represent that part of yourself that you are trusting, that you're actually trusting yourself as well to know what's going to work and what's not going to work. In those areas.
I hope so.
Yeah. Whereas all the female part of yourself, which is more your right brain, your creative, your inner, your nurturing, is quite happy, as you have well described to us.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like anything that your nurturing or creative self comes up with, you're okay with. You've got that covered. You're happy with that. You've already put your hand up for all of that. You're good with that, as long as it's not too funky and too creative and too new. And the other part, while you trust the men in your world on themselves for what they do, even though you could place worry in them but you've decided not to, it's more important to know that on an inner level you actually trust yourself for making those kind of decisions about when you're ready to say to your husband, yes, now you've got the business in the shape that I think it will probably more likely work than not work, now I'm on board with you. And when you're thinking, no, that's floor's too slopey for me at the moment, let's make some changes there.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But I'd like to talk about the tree and the boulder. What kind of tree was it?
It was like a, a leafy tree. Mm-hmm. not too, like it wasn't too big. It wasn't like a massive gum tree.
Yeah.
It was, I'm trying to think of a very brown, I'm always thinking not an Australian tree, if that
okay.
If that makes sense. It almost feels like a tree that's seen in America and things like that. It was a it wasn't a straggly tree, but it wasn't very healthy either.
Yes, okay.
I can remember that. It didn't provide a lot of shade or anything like that. It but it wasn't like a dead tree by any
sense. Just checking, is this the tree in the boulders or the tree that they're chopping down at the end? Or is that the...
Oh, sorry, this is the tree in the boulders.
Yeah, that's the one I was asking about. That's fine.
Yeah,
and the one they were chopping down at the end, what kind of tree was that?
It was in the forest and it was very leafy.
Very leafy.
It was little leaf. It was almost like a lily pilly, I would describe that as.
And why... Although you didn't know, did you know in the dream why they were chopping that one down?
No, they were in the distance, and we could just see it shaking, and we could see the leaves. I remember distinctly seeing the leaves are all shaking. What's going on with that tree up there? And I knew that they were up there.
Mm.
And then when we looked closer, they were doing something, and they weren't actually chopping it down, they were chopping branches off it.
Ah.
So they were, like, I wouldn't say they were hacking it down from the base of the tree, they were maybe trimming it.
Trimming it so that it would grow better.
Yeah.
And what's a lily pilly tree mean to you?
I like lily pilly trees.
Yeah.
I like to look at them. They're nice.
Okay. It's just interesting that at the end of the dream, when you went outside at the end of the dream, you felt that people weren't from Australia. They were different nationalities, you said. And it was from that point of view that you then saw, it was straight after that that you saw the boys shaking the lily pilly tree. But the tree in the yard of the house was, you felt, wasn't an Australian tree. It was a different nationality as well. So there's almost a sense there, what I get there, Lisa, is the tree in the yard is part of, are we going to do this thing or not? Whether it's the business or the whole thing, are we going to do this thing or not? It was hanging in there, the tree, but it wasn't that healthy, as you say.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually a good tree. It was a bit sick. It probably wasn't in a great position, particularly with all the boulders, to really grow that well.
Yeah, it was. I can distinctly remember, how's it even growing there?
Yeah.
Like, I can remember distinctly thinking that, because the tree looked like it was down in amongst the boulders, and where's it getting its nutrients?
Yes.
Like, it was sort of coming straight out of the boulders, in the ground.
Let's relate that to you, Lisa. Where are you getting your nutrient from? Where on earth are you getting your nourishment from? Can you relate to the feeling of that tree in the yard to some extent?
Yeah, I can. I suppose when I look at it, it's like that. I feel like I spend a lot of time, you know, with my daughter and my son and doing other things, but I enjoy doing that. But, you know, if you said to me, what hobbies do you do for yourself?
Yeah.
Nothing, really. I guess I don't do anything. But I don't mind that.
It's
whinging about.
Yeah, it's a decision you've made for now.
I read. No, there is things I do for myself. I read and I walk and things, but I walk more from a health point of view, I suppose, than a, you know, that I enjoy going for a walk.
So it's interesting because, as you say, you've got enough nourishment going. I mean, the tree is a little bit alive. It's getting its nourishment from somewhere. So
you've got surviving. I just don't know now.
It's surviving. Maybe it's not thriving. I like what you said there. It was interesting. I do want to come back to that tree, but you said, I do some things in my life, but hobbies, where have I got time for that? Whereas at the end of the dream, when you were describing the men shaking the trees, you said something like, in waking life, they've got all these hobbies. They go off and do these hobbies. You did use the word hobbies there.
Yeah.
So it's almost like...
They certainly don't do it often. Just whenever we get together for family functions, they all bring along their drones and fly drones and remote control helicopters
But there's the reference to hobbies at the end of the dream, and you kind of referenced it while looking at the tree. So it's that sense of, even though I hear what you're saying, this is okay for now, there's a sense in the dream, but one day I'm going to have hobbies. I'm going to have other things that I can draw on to nourish me other than the things that I need to do directly for my health and to keep me, you know, supporting. So there's that sense of, and yet, Lisa, at the end of the dream, because the men are out there doing the hobby, they've got a lily pilly tree. You like lily pilly trees. The lily pilly tree was nice and green. It was very healthy. And in fact, they were pruning it in order to make it grow better. Now, because everything and everyone in a dream is a part of yourself, there's a sense there that there is a part of yourself at the end of the dream that has decided, you know, I can see a time when, if I'm careful, if I prune first and decide where I want the energy to go, I can actually draw more nourishment and grow in the directions I want to grow, maybe have more hobbies in my life or whatever. But first I have to prune. I have to cut away some of the things in my life that I may be putting energy into in order to put better energy into the things in my life which I really want to. So my question, going back to the tree in the yard, because there's so much in this dream to go into, but we probably can't spend too much time on it, but going back to the tree in the yard, I'm intrigued, and you may be able to help me here, about why you saw that dream as not being Australian, being, say, American, and at the same time you noticed that when you went outside the house in the dream, you noticed that there were different nationalities. Now, How does that work in your life? Do you have any heritage that's not? Where's your heritage?
Well, it's funny. I was just thinking exactly what you're saying. My heritage is so Australian. Mm. It's not funny. You know, I don't have any other nationalities in my life. Like, I've actually traced my family tree.
Yes.
And we're English and we're Scottish, and we came out here in the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. So we've been here, and you know, with almost the Second Fleet or something, and you know, and throughout my family life, there's no, to me, I think, I don't understand, when I think about the ladies out, the family that were outside, mm-hmm. they were wearing like burkas and that sort of thing. And for me, I was looking at them and thinking, I have not really had anything ever to do with people, you know, with many foreign people, and I'm very,
yes,
very Australian. And it's not that I'm against them. I've travelled and things like that, and definitely not to have any opinions of them or things, yes, like that. But I live such a, I'm so comfortable with Australia.
Yes,
do you know what I mean? Like, I
do.
I just feel very comfortable at home. I have no desire ever to live in another country. Or I love travelling for holidays to other countries. It's wonderful to look at and see the cultures, but I have no desire to ever leave here. I don't know whether that's to do with anything.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't understand a lot of the other cultures. Like, I'm,
yes,
aware, but I don't understand them. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Lisa. So there's a sense there that for you, in the outer world, that's how you feel. I'm happy at home. I've no need to travel. There's only so many things that a person can do, and you've made that decision.
Yeah.
On the inner level, what that may mean is that in your dream, by your dream bringing in other nationalities, including a different nationality tree to some extent, it's that feeling,
yeah,
of these are things that are beyond where I'm comfortable. They're beyond home. They're beyond the decisions,
yeah,
I've made. So in a sense, look, when you think about your husband's business, you know, we,
yeah,
went back to that symbol in the dream of, I love this bedroom. It's antique. It's set up properly. And I was saying,
yeah,
to you, like, it's antique versus funky and new. In other words, I, Lisa, feel more comfortable with what's antique within myself, with my foundations,
yeah,
with what's I'm established with rather that than the things that are new and funky and cool. I know what I like. I like things set up properly. That's the way I like,
yeah,
it, even though I'm worried that the floor will slope. So in a sense, when you come out of the building in the dream, there's that sense of, oh, there's different nationalities here. It's like, this is beyond my comfort zone, beyond my set. You know, I'd be comfortable traveling abroad, but it's not the choice that I want to make. I want to stay within what I know, and not only what I know, it's not a criticism, it's within what I love. I've chosen Australia,
yeah,
I'm happy here. So there's,
yeah,
that real sense in the dream that it's as if I'm being given all these chances, or Lisa, I'm giving myself all these options, and it's like, yes, I'll do that, all right, I'll reconsider. Yes, I'll do that, I'll reconsider. But one of the values that is reflected strongly in your dream, consciously and unconsciously, is that even when new opportunities are given to me, or I think for a moment, oh, I might do something a bit creative and new, my deepest value, consciously and unconsciously, are values that I've had for a very long time that I feel are antique, my foundation beliefs about life. That's where I want to be. And you've identified those family and things. So I think one of the critical areas of here is your husband's business. Now, you may not probably want to say in a public broadcast here, but is your husband's business, would you say that was a something that's been a around for a long time, or is it something quite new and funky?
Oh no, something's been around for a long time.
Okay,
yeah.
so that also fits where you're at in terms of embracing a traditional thing there.
Yeah, and I think it's more like at the moment he works for somebody else,
mm,
and it's looking at going into his own business, so there's the comfort of a regular wage income,
yes,
versus, you know, your own business, which I'm sure is a worry for everybody in their own business.
Yeah. And that's why you've got things in the house, like you're considering, like, yeah, but the kitchen's only half finished and there's no stove. It's like, you know, we can see this, the possibilities of this business, but will it nourish us? Will it give us something to cook our food,
yeah,
on, literally and,
yeah,
you know, metaphorically?
Yeah.
Will it all hang together?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we never know. We just have to decide whether to take that step or not, and hopefully that step isn't into a sinkhole. You see, that part of your dream doesn't say that the business will be a sinkhole. It says that I, Lisa, fear that going into this business may be like stepping into a sinkhole. Mm. I, Lisa, fear that going into this business may be like having a brick wall with no grout, etc., etc. I, Lisa, feel that even with going with traditional beliefs that I feel comfortable with, the floor may still slope. So your dream is showing you some of your own fears and uncertainties. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know those and then make the decision. But my feeling is, and I will give you some alchemy over it after speaking to you just a little bit more, but my feeling is that you know yourself very well. And my feeling would be to really focus on those two trees, because it's really that sense that I feel if there's one symbol, Lisa, that talking to you, you really connect with, it's that tree in the garden. It's that sense of, I'm hanging in there. I've made good choices, but I could do it. Where on earth am I getting my nourishment from? Versus the end of the dream, where if you trust the male side of yourself, there may be a way to be more like the lily pilly tree, to enjoy the hobbies like the men, but it does involve cutting back first, cutting back some branches, cutting back some things of that you do in order for the tree to be even healthier and grow in the way that you want it to be. You want to be the lily pilly. You love lily pillies. So putting those things together, I'm talking about your dream may not have brought out much more than you already know. I don't know. What has this conversation done with you? In what way has it helped you change your feelings or consolidate your feelings at all?
You've definitely brought out things that I didn't, get at all. Like, there's things in there. Like, I knew when the floating bed, that was worry about my children, I'm always worried about my children. I could sort of get what those were thinking, and I knew the focus on the school and things like that, but what you're saying about the trees, definitely, it's given me something new to think about, because I think, okay, when you say you might have to cut back something to allow it to nourish, I'm thinking, my first thought was, do I need to cut back something physically? Mm. Or maybe I have to, no, it's not that. Maybe I have to cut back something mentally to allow it, have a think about what I need to cut back in my mind, my first thought is, I have to, for more time for me, obviously, you have to cut something else out.
Yes,
maybe not cook
right.
dinner or something, which is not going to happen. But you know what I mean? Things like that. But then I thought, well, maybe it's not that level, though. Maybe it's I need to cut back something. My thoughts are so busy, cut something out of my thoughts. That would give me more.
I think that's one of the key ones, and I'm going to help you a bit with this as well, but particularly because at the end of the dream, you said you had that feeling, as you do in life, of I can't really worry. I'm not going to worry about the men because it always works out all right. And because you're talking about worrying about your children, which we all do, of course, it's natural. Yeah. And that works with what you were saying mentally. It's like we can use up so much energy worrying, as opposed to not worrying, And I've always come out with this thing with my family, which it's not always that easy to follow, but it kind of makes sense to some extent if you can hold on to it, which is I say, look, there's two ways we can do this. One is to do it and worry about it. And the other way is to do it and not worry about it. Which one's going to be more nourishing? Because worry can be, it means sit down and make your decisions first. And, of course, it doesn't mean jump in. It means have a look at what are you worried about? What are you concerned, et cetera, et cetera. But then when you've made those decisions, let the worry go, because it's something that can definitely be cut out of all our lives, as you're kind of saying, stray mental thoughts, repetitive negative thoughts. Trying to do other people's...
Kill the, the good things.
That's right.
Because it stops you from doing, taking that extra little step forward.
That's right. So I'd just like to do two other things to help you out, Lisa, here before wrapping this one, because we're getting close to that 1 hour where people can't download if we go up to there.
Okay.
The one is for you, but also is really I'm just want to talk to everyone listening to this as well. One of the things about your dream, as I noticed at the beginning, was the recurring motifs, which we went into. But then the other way is that The other important thing I want to draw attention to, and I don't know if many people out there noticed when you said the dream, but I jumped onto the two trees, but I wanted to explore everything else before coming back to the two trees, you see. So it's the emotional intensity with which you connect with that tree in the backyard. And you may not have realized quite so much in the dream, but when we pondered upon the dream, it's that symbol that you really connected with. And sometimes you can do that when you have a dream, when you wake up in the morning. Have a sort of look over the symbols. You don't need to know what they mean, but just keep flipping over them till one of them seems to draw you. And say, which of all these symbols in the dream kind of relates to where I'm at in my life now? And then home in on that one, which we did with that tree, and then look for another symbol in the dream which seems to be related to that. And in your case, it was the other tree, which in fact was healthy and doing well, and then kind of compare notes there. The other thing I'd like to suggest to you on a very helpful basis is we always finish with doing some dream alchemy, which is where you take some, is where you decide on the changes that you would like to make in your life, or you look at your dream and see where there might be unconscious beliefs holding you back. Or in your case, we draw attention from your dream and say, okay, what can we cut back in order that you can be nourished better to do what you need to do? And the dream alchemy is an exercise to do that, playing with the symbols of the dream. Now, usually I give a visualization, and I could do that to you, but what I'm tempted to do for you, Lisa, is to ask you to sit down after we've done this recording and take a piece of paper, and on one side draw, very roughly draw the tree and the boulders, mm-hmm. and on the other side very roughly draw the lily pilly tree with quite a few branches sticking out of it. I mean, they can be stick men tree, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then on the, just keep on the left, start with the left-hand side one first, which is your tree in the backyard. And you don't have to show this to anyone. This is just for you. You can burn it afterwards. Just write some notes on that page of the things that you would love, the kind of nourishment you would like to have in your life, even if it's in, you know, 15 years' time when the children are grown up and well. But just make a little list of your ideal list of things that you would like to have nourish you in your life, even if you can't see them on your horizon at the moment. So that's kind of like your wish list. And then turn to the right-hand side of the lily pilly tree, because what you're going to look at here is trying to work out which branches to prune so that it can grow better. And I'd like you to do a little list, and I'd like you to put physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Other ways of doing that might be saying body, mind, heart, and spirit, whichever way you like to look at it. And then consider that tree and think, okay, first of all, physical. Are there any physical things that I can lop off my tree? Now, like you said, it might be, it probably wouldn't be your exercise. That's important. It might be some other area of your physical life where you do something that you could maybe delegate. So look at that. Look at the body, or look at housework. Look at everything physical. Think physical and material. Is there something I can really lop off here that's actually going to give me more time and energy? Then do the same for mental, and we've already began to look at some of those, and I think when you sit down, you'll know what some of those are. Then look at emotional. That's or obviously your emotions and feelings. Are there times when you invest extra worry, which is an emotion that you could do with lopping off? And lastly, spiritual, is there anything, now, you know, if you were excessively religious and went to church 3 hours a day, you might want to cut off some of those. If you were doing 5 hours meditation a day, whereas 10 minutes would be good, you might want to lop off one of those. But usually having that on the list helps you to see that you're out of balance. Ideally in our life, we should spend, you know, a quarter of our time on physical, a quarter mental, a quarter emotional, a quarter spiritual. Okay. So it's kind of like a balance check. So run through those things, and I've given you that sort of slightly more rational dream alchemy there, Lisa, because as you've indicated, you actually like doing that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So do that, and so what you'll have at the end of that is a list on the left-hand page of your ideal wish list for later of the ways in which you would love to nourish your life, and on the right-hand side of the page, what you might have to prune back, a body, mind, heart, and soul, in order to get a nice balance between all of those that nourish you. And simply doing that by drawing, make sure you draw the picture, because the picture is the symbol from your, the two symbols from your dreams. And by doing all those words and thinkings around your pictures of the trees is actually connecting back with those symbols in the dream and helping you at a deep unconscious level to make those changes. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does.
Okay, yes. Did you have any other questions before we must wrap?
No, I don't think so. Thank you. You've been wonderful, really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for being a really beautiful guest on the show, Lisa. I'm sure you've given everybody lots of food for thought. You know, and we can always borrow symbols from other people's dreams and think about our own lives. Where in my life have I got a tree that needs a bit more nourishment? Where in my life can I prune a few things? Thank you for being a lovely guest on the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
That was a really good one, wasn't it? Take those questions into your own life now. Borrow those symbols. It wasn't your dream. But if you're listening and you're thinking, sometimes I could do with a bit more nourishment in my life, pick a tree, not any tree, pick a tree that you like. Imagine it as just needing a bit of pruning so that it can grow into the exact shape that you really would like. And then ask yourself those four questions. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, or body and material life, mind, heart, and soul, and see, you know, in your day-to-day life, do you spend roughly a bit of time on all of these? Have you got all those areas of your life in balance? Do you go to bed at night and can you say to yourself, yes, that's right, I've spent time with my body and my material world, I've spent time with my emotional world, time with my mental, intellectual world, time with my spiritual life. Yes, I've had a good balanced day. Ask yourself that question. And if you haven't, go back to your picture of the lovely tree and think, how can I lop off a few branches in my life? How can I stop giving energy into some areas of my life which are not serving me well or are causing me to be unbalanced so that I can grow on a day-to-day life and be able to nourish myself in a well-balanced way on all these four levels. We can always borrow something from other people's dreams. Enjoy. The next episode of the Dream Show 159 is due out on the 12th of December 2014. Have a lovely month and I'll speak to you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.